And that majestic score means it's time for History Matters, joined in the studio by the one and only Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire, to take us on a journey through this week in history. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron and Victor.
Good morning.
It is great to be here. And, of course, every week is a travel through history, and this week is no exception. Such good things going on. And so much has happened since, let's see, last week was April 1st.
Yes.
And you have the April Fool's Day joke, which was turned out not to be.
Yep.
And let me just ask,
God, that
record,
was only a week ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was that something that caught you all by surprise, the news here?
Are you talking about Roy Williams? Yeah, we haven't seen you since since then. Yeah, that happened a couple hours later. Yeah, we were having a company meeting. We were all on Zoom. In our different respective rooms, and it was Dakota Moyer, who's our web guy in Chapelboro, who broke into the meeting and said, guys, Roy Williams is retired. And we're like, come on, Dakota. That is the worst delivery of an April Fool's joke ever.
Did you get flack from the general public about announcing this as news, saying, oh, come on?
A little bit, yeah. But
especially
not,
on Facebook.
Yeah,
really?
But not nearly as much as UNC got for announcing it. Because everyone was like, come on, UNC. This is April Fool's Day. We know better than this. And then there was a press conference and everything. And they're really dragging this April Fool's joke on for a while now.
Well, it's turned out to be a good story, and this is the week when there are things, when we look at the origins of things, that could fall into the category of, really, you've got to be kidding, that's an April Fool's Day. No, it really did happen. Here's one that I like from April 7th, 1827, is when the first matches go on sale. Now, we think matches, well, haven't they always had these? No. It was an English chemist, John Walker, who figured out to put some phosphorus on the end of a stick, and then it could be struck. Now, the only thing was is the white phosphorus that they used was a little bit more flammable, so it takes to 1844, and a Danish chemist who comes up with the red phosphorus that we know and we still use today. Mm-hmm. But before then, they're using coals carried in pouches, not a very safe thing, or striking flint. You know, it's kind of amazing to think it's not until 1822 that matches really go on sale. That's just a phenomenal thing. We use it all the time. We don't even think about it.
Yeah. Imagine that made it a lot easier to light candles and cigarettes as well. It's like,
yes,
can you light my cigarettes? Let me hold these two flints up to your face. And
Wow. I didn't even think about the process of lighting cigarettes. And people were definitely smoking pipes and
big
other
time, yeah.
Things.
Oh, it was just really hard.
You probably had to have a candle lit or something.
Or like just light a stick off of your candle.
Right,
or I guess the lamps or other fires you might have burning. Just danger zone. Danger zone all
pretty
around.
Pretty much, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he did not patent it, so that's why everybody started copying and started doing it as well. Another one that comes up this week, and anybody's ever had a tear in a piece of clothing, a safety pin comes in handy. Well, this is the week when the safety pin patent is issued to a fellow named Walter Hunt in 1849. Now, we know from the historical record going back a couple thousand years that something like a safety pin was already in existence, but he's the first modern person to come up with this idea, and he sells it for $400, and this makes a ton more money. It's because he wanted to pay off some debts.
Right.
You know, think of that, a simple device that we use every day. So
this thing that had been invented, this guy gets a patent for. Meanwhile, John Walker invents the match and doesn't get a patent for it.
That's right, exactly.
I guess it all evens out in the end.
It does. It does somehow. Well, this is another one that I'm not sure. I think they got some kind of a copyright on the name, and it's James DeWare, who was working in the 1930s on a machine, and April 6th is when he starts using this machine differently. They would shell these shortcakes with strawberries. Now, you would think that would be great, except that the strawberry season came to an end, and here they have these little shortcakes. What are they going to do? So he figures out, wouldn't it be nice if we could inject some of the cream that we'd ordinarily put on top of that strawberry shortcake into this little thing as well. And, of course, we know them today. And he was inspired by something called the Twinkle Toe Shoes, and that's where he comes up with the name Twinkies, because it was zippier, he said.
All right.
In later years. And he lived to 88, and he said he ate Twinkies three times a day, and so did his children and grandchildren.
I didn't expect eating Twinkies three times a day. I was thinking that he would say he had never eaten a Twinkie in his life.
Not touching this stuff. Are you kidding me?
That's right. No,
nothing but strawberries all day for me.
But that's something you see in the supermarkets. So it's ubiquitous, and you don't think about, oh, where did that come from? And that happens this week in history as well. This is a week also when a fellow named Washington Attlee Burpee was born in 1858.
That's a great historical name.
Oh, it is. And he's a fellow who experiments with first with livestock and then with seeds. And he begins to take trips in Europe, buys seeds there because supposedly the story goes there were immigrants who were saying, we've come from our home countries, we can't find good seed. He'd bring it back. The only problem was it didn't always work from the European latitudes to the American latitudes, so he began to experiment right here in the Americas and adapt seed. He actually is the person who starts the largest seed order company in the world, Burpee Seed Company, still in existence, and also introduces golden corn to the American public, which before then was just used as a feedstock. And he's the one who brings it to bear as well. There's a woman who actually marries an immigrant and helps stop war, and that was in 1614. She is the Native American known as Pocahontas, and she marries an illegal immigrant, we would call him today, a Captain John Rolfe, and forges an agreement and forges peace, and really was a diplomat who really gave her life for that, which is another thing we need to celebrate. This is also,
and the marriage was this week in history.
The marriage,
right?
Was, yeah. That's right, exactly. Yep. Booker T. Washington was born this week. He was born into slavery and then grew and became emancipated after the Civil War. Goes on to get education at Hampton and founds the Tuskegee Institute, believed in education and entrepreneurship as the doorways of opportunities for African Americans, and was a good friend of George Eastman, who was influenced by him. And George Eastman had a beautiful estate here in North Carolina, and he made sure to bring down his chief architects and started a modern school in Ringwood, where he had an estate that was still in existence into the 90s, actually.
Wow, okay.
Where they closed it. So,
all right.
Pretty interesting stories right there.
Sounds good. We're speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. We've got time for one more. What do we got?
Okay. Here's one fellow who I just love it because of creativity makes such a difference. He was a British author, born in 1897, April 10th. His name is Eric Knight. And when he was younger, he had heard about these stories, and his family was English. He came to America, and he started writing about these stories about dogs, and they just took off. And in World War II, the story of specifically this one dog that was sold, because this actually happened when times were tough in England, people were selling their dogs, and this one tale of a dog that escaped and made its way back to its owner, well, it was a great story. And that story, as we know today, is Lassie.
Okay.
You know, that's another origin story of like, these are things that have been around forever. Well, no, they weren't until somebody had the idea to think about it, says, what if? And I think that's what has got us through the past year is people looking in different ways about different things and things that we have taken for granted and say, gee, what if we could do it differently? And thank goodness for WCHL because they always do things differently in such good ways.
That is how history matters. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.